When you hear the word faith, what is it that you think of? So often, the term faith, just like our term last week of hope, is used in a way outside of its proper context. So, you know, somebody might ask you the question, what faith are you of? You know, are you Christian? Are you Muslim? Are you Buddhist? Do you have faith in the government? But what we're going to talk about today is biblical faith. The problem is that we're just talking about faith, but usually we end up adding adjectives to the noun because we want to be clear about what we're talking about. But, I mean, we're just talking biblical faith, Christian faith, godly faith, salvific faith. So part two today of our new series, Contagious, is contagious commendable faith. And a commendation is a reward worthy of praise. So when you see contagious commendable faith, it means contagious faith that's worthy of praise and worthy of praise from God's point of view. I don't just want to have the bare minimum faith. We want the kind of faith that God says, man, that's amazing faith right there. So we're going to come out of Hebrews chapter 11 today. After about verse 5, I think I'm going to skip to verse 23. Not because I'm trying to shortchange you on the scripture, but, you know, we dealt with Abraham and hoping, and he's a large part of the text that I'm taking out today. Of course, you have your Bibles, read up on this as you study yourself, but I just want to give us kind of the main oversight of Hebrews chapter 11. So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 starts off, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients, the people in the days of old, were commended for. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. By faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Ahead to verse 23. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover application of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouth of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead raised to life again. But there were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced mocking and whipping and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted and mistreated. This world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received all that had been promised by God. For God had something better in mind for us, so that they would not reach perfection without us. That was long, and I cut out like 20 verses in that. This passage is known as the Hall of Faith. Every sports league has a Hall of Fame. It's where the best of the best of the best. They have statues made after him. They have memorabilia there. Their stories are told there. And that's why we call this the Hall of Faith. Because it's not everybody that's involved in being faithful and having commendable faith, right? The kind of faith that God praises. But my hope is that as you read this list and as you hear this list, man, you're inspired. You know, I don't want to just have faith. I don't just want to, you know, go into heaven by the skin of my teeth. I don't want to just have enough faith to just get by. We're supposed to want commendable faith. And by hearing the stories of the biblical heroes and heroines, and by being in spiritual community where you're hearing and seeing the stories of the very people that you're sitting next to, those things are meant to be contagious. It's supposed to drive us towards contagious, commendable faith. So I just want to hone in, like I said, so many times people talk about faith for salvation, indwelling faith, you know, all these kinds of different adjectives that are modifying the noun. I love that Hebrews just says faith. And so the first thing we need to know about faith is that it's probably best understood by what it does more than its definition. Okay? What does faith do? And I think that there's at least five bare minimums. There's more, but there's five bare minimums that this writer of Hebrews is talking about when he talks about faith. So faith believes that God exists. Faith believes that God has revealed himself through the Bible and that what he has said is true. Faith enters into a personal relationship with God. Faith makes Jesus Christ its Lord and Savior. Faith believes that God will reward those who exercise true faith, and faith results in action. Right? Six of them there. Faith must result in action. So let's deal with some of the misconceptions about faith. Some people believe that faith is a life of reflective devotion to any God or any set of beliefs that transforms the individual into a more purposeful, loving person. That's not biblical faith. That's not faith in the God of the Bible. Some people believe faith is predominantly about what facts or doctrines I believe or what things I affirm. No, you can believe in the right God. You can believe the right things and that you affirm them. You say that they're true, but without action, you don't have faith. Some people believe that faith is blind, that faith exists contrary to facts, data, science, or medicine. Wrong. We're not believing in fairy tales. We have reasons for why we have faith. There's evidence. God has a track record. We have a track record with God where we have seen him do things. He's revealed himself to us, to our families, to our friends, whatever the case may be. And so faith is not blind. Another misconception of faith is that I will have faith in God so long as he is good to me, according to my definition of good. That's another wrong one. And some people believe that faith is dependent on one's background, upbringing, and family. Meaning, you know, we're Christians because we're born in America. But had we been born in an Islamic country, then we would automatically be Muslim. Or if we were born in the East, then we would be a Buddhist. Again, the problem with that is you have people all over those places in those countries coming to Christianity. So that's not what faith means, okay? So remember, we're talking about commendable faith, the faith that's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, and we're talking about a faith that is worthy of praise from God's point of view. So principle one today is without faith, it is impossible to be right with God. It's impossible to please God without faith. We see this in Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 6. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. I need to really point out the second half of this verse here. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. That's usually not a problem. But the problem, even for those who say that they know that, you know, Jesus Christ is God, that the God of the Bible is God, and it believes that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that God rewards those who earnestly seek him? I think there's a lot of Christians that don't think God rewards those who earnestly seek him, or they're wondering if that's true, and this is where we start to question his goodness. If it's true, then why is my life the way it is? Why am I the way I am? Why can't I break free from these sins, or why can't I be free of this situation? Or how did I end up in this place? Those who earnestly seek him. Right? So we're going to keep that in mind for a little bit. The life of faith is the only life that pleases God. And living by faith is the only right path for God's people. See, it's possible to believe the right things, to know the right doctrines, but then to live contrary to faith. Right? Who are you really depending on at the end of the day when you're in between a rock and a hard place? Who do you count on? Who do you go to when you feel all alone? And the thing is, you know, number one, we're not judging anybody. I'm just trying to show you how this works even in the lives of Christians. Sometimes we turn to medication, or we turn to doctors, or we turn to shopping, or we turn to relationships. We turn to many other things before we turn to God. And that's the problem, right? That's not living. You have faith. You have a cognitive understanding of what you believe, but you're not living it out. Right? And I'm not saying you live it out 0% or 100%, but what we want to do is we want to have a commendable faith, which means we're starting to slide the scale to become greater. You know, if I'm sitting at 10% faith right now, I don't want to stay at 10% faith. I want to keep moving and progressing with God. So the life of faith is the only thing that pleases God. Principle number two. Commendable faith, again, that's faith that is praised by God, is faith that is put into action in the face of great hardship and disheartening difficulties. I'm going to read that again. Commendable faith is faith that is put into action in the face of great hardship and disheartening difficulties. Look at when we start with verse 23. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. So we go back to what I said earlier, right? Do you really believe God's going to reward you? And do you understand that the reward God's talking about, while he gives us glimpses of it here, this is not what he has in mind. See, how easy would it have been for Moses to find himself in the Pharaoh's palace, all the treasures, all the authority, all the power, and be like, man, God has really blessed me. God is so good. Look how blessed I am. But that wasn't by God. You understand what I'm saying? See, too often, like I said, we step outside of what we know faith demands. We know what God demands, and that's to be in relationship with him to bring his goodness into this world, but we're doing other things that are really just about our comfort. It's really just about us sitting on the throne of our life doing what we want to do. And I think part of it, I'm not going to try to tell you how much of it is, what the percentage is, but part of it is because we don't actually really trust that God rewards us or that he will reward us. It's the same reason we don't forgive or we execute vengeance. We know the scripture tells us that vengeance is mine, says the Lord. So then why are we always hell-bent on taking our own vengeance? Because we don't really believe God is going to really avenge it the way we want to see it. We think they should suffer more. We think the punishment should be harder. So as we look at what commendable faith is, it's put into action in the face of great hardship and disheartening difficulties. That's how you know that you have faith that is worthy of God's praise. Anybody can praise God when the time... We know this. I think back to Job chapter 1. I think it's the last verse in chapter 1. When, you know, Job loses everything. Loses his home, loses his animals, and he finds out that his children are all dead. And it says that he fell down and he worshiped God. That's faith in the middle of great hardship and disheartening difficulties. So why do we find it so hard to worship God in those circumstances? Right? We talked about last week, you know, contagious hope. Hoping when there's no reason to hope because God has promised. Because God says he has a good plan for you. A plan that's good and not evil. A plan to give you a future and a hope. Do we really believe? Do you really have faith? Principle number 3, commendable faith should be the goal of every Christian. You know, we see this hall of faith, right? The hall of famers of our faith, and we think, I'm just a regular person. Those are spectacular people, spectacular men and women of God, but that's not me. But it's the goal of every Christian. It's supposed to be the goal of every Christian to have commendable faith. Knowing that that's what God wants first and foremost from every single one of us. You know, have you ever stopped and actually looked at scriptures about how God brags on his people that have commendable faith? We look at Job chapter 1 verse 8 and it says, "Then the Lord asked Satan, have you noticed my servant Job? He's the finest man in all the earth, blameless, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and stays away from evil." We see in Numbers chapter 12, verse 3, the scripture says, "Now Moses was very humble, more humble than any other person on earth." I believe it's in the book of Judges when the angel of the Lord appears to Gideon and it says, you know, "Greetings, hero." Right? As human beings, we crave praise. We want praise. We want acceptance. But too often we want it from the wrong people in the wrong places. And the very person whose praise means everything, for some reason we don't really seek his praise. And that's an issue, right? So just to show you that this is commendable praise is what every Christian is supposed to desire and go after. We have in Matthew chapter 25 is a parable there of the good servant and the bad servant. And verse 23 says, "The master said," and this is supposed to be reflective of the judgment, right? The master is God. We are the servant. "The master said, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, so I will put you in charge of many things. Let's celebrate together. Enter into the joy of your master." Is that what you're shooting for? You know, when you think about it, As you live your life out daily, what are your goals? What is it that gets you out of bed in the morning? What's driving you? You know, we all have bills to pay. We all have responsibilities. There's all things we need to do to survive. But what's your goal? Who are you trying to please? What are you trying to do with the faith that you have? Right? Is God just something that we reference, that we rubber stamp the things that we do and say? Or am I actually making decisions that are meant to gain me praise from God? Because in order to do that, like Moses did, it says he gave up. He didn't want to be the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He didn't want everything the world had to offer. He'd rather suffer with the people of God than enjoy those things. So what's your goal? What praise are you trying to gain? Principle number 4 says, no one is born with commendable faith. Every hero and heroine of the faith had to start their journey one decision, one step, one situation, and one day at a time. This message is not to shout you down. It's to ask you, have you already started one decision, one step, one situation, and one day at a time? Because it's not too late. It just takes one first step, that baby step, to start living a commendable faith life. Principle number 5, commendable faith is a result of God's Spirit working extraordinarily in the lives of ordinary people who chose to have faith. The thing about this list and those that I didn't mention today in verses 7 through 22, yes, they are Hall of Famers in the faith, and they're all jacked up people like you and me. Every single one of them. We see what Moses left, right? He left Pharaoh's daughter's house. He gave up the riches. He also committed murder. He also suffered 40 years, you know, living, feeling like, you know, that God's plan for him was over. He was just going to die as a lowly shepherd. And the sheep didn't even belong to him. They belonged to his father-in-law. David is on that list. We know David is arguably a rapist, committed fraud, and also murder. You look at Rahab, right? It tells you, Rahab who? Rahab the prostitute. Every single person in this Hall of Fame is jacked up like you and me. So it's not about being elite or being the best of the best. It's about allowing God's Spirit to work extraordinarily in your life. But again, he will only work that way when that's your desire. My desire, God, is to please you. I want you to brag on me. I don't know about you, but I want that. I don't need people to brag on me, but I would love for the Father, the one who knows all things, the one who knows our hearts, the one who knows our thoughts, to brag on me. And the thing about this is written in the book of Hebrews, which is New Testament. Everybody that's talked about in this is Old Testament. There's another hall of faith, which is all the New Testament saints. There's a hall of faith for every generation. And there's no limit to how many people are on that list. Don't you want to be on that? Scripture says, you know, what shall a man or a woman give for their soul? What price is worthy? What's worth it? What are we trading for God's praise and getting that instead? What have we compromised on? What are we selling ourselves short on? That instead of seeking commendable faith, we seek things here of this world that's temporary. Principle number 6, commendable faith has different outcomes for different people. This is why the facet of faith that we believe God rewards those who earnestly seek him is so important. Because, yes, there's people, let's just get to the text and you'll see it. Verse 35, oh, actually, I didn't put it in there. Verse 34 talks about, you know, how kingdoms were overthrown and justice was administered and armies were put to flight. And it starts off in verse 35, some women even received their children back from the dead. But then there's that but. But there were others, and this is faithful people, people with commendable faith, but there were other people with commendable faith who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced mocking and whipping and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. And I love this part. This world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and holes in the ground. See, commendable faith has different outcomes for different people. So to have a faith that's praiseworthy from God's point of view, again, doesn't mean that you get everything that you want to have. It doesn't mean that you feel good all the time or that you're a superstar that everybody looks up to and wants to be like. It's about running your race. The direct scripture right after this, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, talking about these people, talking about New Testament heroes and heroines, let us each run the race that God has set before us. So commendable faith is about running the race that God created for you that you're supposed to win. I can't win Stefan's race. Alan can't win my race. You can't run each other's races. You have to run the race that God gave you. That's how you develop commendable faith. So what that means is I can't waste my time comparing my walk with your walk. And you shouldn't waste your time comparing yours with mine. We have different walks. Some of us will see great victories that other people can see. Other of us will see great victories that no one will see. And other of us will look like we have been defeated. But really, we are victorious. Because we're not looking to be rewarded here and now, but in God's ultimate reality. And it goes back to the question, do you really have faith that that's true? Do you really have faith that God is going to reward you for living your life of faith? Last principle today, number 7. Commendable faith is anchored in its intimate relationship with God, which allows it to stay on target with the ultimate reality, God's eternal kingdom. You know, Jesus asked the question, you know, where are you building your treasure? What is treasure to you? Where are you building your treasure? Where are you storing up your treasure? What are you finding value in? So the question is your faith a commendable faith? Do you think, and again, this is such a complicated question because I know we have people on extremes of the spectrum here, where some of us think too much of ourselves and other of us don't think anything of ourselves, and we're both wrong. But my thing is, based on your life, your faith right now, right here, not everything that's ever happened, but based on the way you're living out your faith, is it a commendable faith? Is it pleasing to God? Is it demonstrating that you believe that he will reward you in the future for the decisions you're making right now? And those are very tangible things that can be measured, right? things like, are you literally turning the other cheek? Right? Are you following the path of the righteous instead of the path that lines your pockets? Are you holding up an integrity, or are you giving in to peer pressure? Where are you finding and where are you storing your treasure? Is your faith a commendable faith? More importantly, how would your life be different if your goal was to have a commendable faith? How would your life be different? Right? Not picking on parents, because you know I'm a parent. But sometimes we're so caught up in providing for our children that we don't provide them with the relationship that they need. To give them the material they need, they don't have the relationship they need. Sometimes when we're leading an organization, we're so busy caught up in the vision of the organization, how's it going, trying to measure success, we forget why we even exist. Right? Do you remember the reason God put you where he put you? What would your life look like if you reoriented it towards aiming for a commendable faith? I think it would change the way we think. I think it would change the things we say to one another. I think it would change everything. And so again, this message is not, it's not so you feel discouraged. Oh, I suck. My faith sucks. It's so that you understand the right, where the bar of expectation is for God. Right? So many of us are guilty of comparing ourselves to those, and I'm not saying like they're literally less than us, but comparing ourselves to those that are less than us. I'm doing better than that person and that person. But that's not who you're being measured against. You're being measured against Jesus, right? Do we understand that the bar is Jesus and that that's what we want to get to? So I want to encourage you, don't just think about it. What would my life be like? Plan to live a life of a commendable. Because it's not, you know, Testament folks, they're being prayed here in the book of Hebrews. We know that the book of life will be open and God will do that about all the people who have a commendable faith. But the beauty about a commendable faith is that it can be experienced here and now, and that when you get people living like that on mission, it becomes contagious. And that's what we want. Not just for our local church, not just for your family, not just for your workplace, but because it'll make a difference in this world. The ripple effect will be felt, but it takes one. It takes one to start. And then you start to know that it's possible. Then you start to have faith. You start to hope, knowing that God is going to reward you for doing the right thing, right? Not the right thing as in, you know, how much money you give at church. Not the right thing is how much food you donate or old clothes you donate. Doing the right thing in relationships. Doing the right thing in the way you live your life to honor God while you serve others. Right? We gotta get out of that bare minimum mentality, which is faith just to be saved. I'm good with God now. That's all that matters. That's not all that matters. One might even argue that's not really a thing. That if I just profess that I believe in something, I believe in the way it's done, but then I never have action to follow it up, that would be hard to convince one biblically that that's faith. So let's reorient our lives and make our goal to have a commendable faith. Amen? Father God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the fact that as the perfect Father, as the perfect mother. You love to brag on your children. Your children that that look like you in spirit, of course, that talk like you, that think like you, that work like you, that you love to brag on them. You love to hold them up as examples of what the Christian faith looks like. Lord, we are thankful for all the examples of men and women and young men and young women and old men and old women of what it looks like to have faith in you in the darkest times, in the hardest times. But Lord, we know that you're also a God that you're lifting these people up here and now, even in our midst. That these are not just things that we see in the Bible, but this is real life. We have modern day heroes and heroines among us. And that you're so proud and you're so happy. You're bragging on them, just like you did with Job and with Moses and with Abraham and with David and with Mary and with all these different people that go on and on. Lord God, we want to be those kinds of daughters and those kinds of sons. Not ones preoccupied with what our neighbors say or our family says or what our boss says, what colleges say. So help us to understand how to take one step towards the goal of living a commendable faith. Help us understand that it's the only thing that's dependent on us is the will and the desire to do it, because your Holy Spirit will give us the power to do it. Your community of believers, your community of brothers and sisters in Christ will encourage us to do it. And Lord, for those of us that are living commendable faith, Lord, help us to be contagions of it. Help us understand that we're not just supposed to live faithfully, privately, and quietly, but that we are supposed to reveal our lives so that others can understand that it's possible, that it's real, and they can begin to hope again, even if they find themselves in hopeless situations. Father, we thank you for the fact that you are the good, good Father. And that even though we haven't had a commendable faith, that doesn't diminish your love for us. We thank you for the fact that you love us just as we are. But we thank you even more for the fact that you love us too much to leave us where we are. Thank you for the future that awaits us, the ultimate reality, in your presence all the time, without sin, without death, without Satan, without demons, living out all your goodness for the rest of eternity. Father, help us in the middle of difficult situations to make the right decisions that are honoring of you, no matter what the cost is to us here in this earth right now. Father, we ask this in the name of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ. We love you, and we love you, and we love you. Amen.